You are listening to 90.7 WFAE. I'm Sarah D'Elia. And if you're just joining us, we just heard that live press conference by District Attorney Andrew Murray regarding the shooting death of Keith Lamont Scott. There are many details to discuss, but we're going to start off with the conclusion of the DA's findings, which was that this was a lawful and justified shooting and that the DA will not be filing any charges. Joining me in the studio right now to recap what we just heard is WFAE's Gwendolyn Glenn. Gwen, thanks for joining us. Let's start off with some new details about this case that were revealed today. Specifically, I want to talk a little bit about some of the footage of Keith Scott at a convenience store before the shooting. What did the DA have to say about that footage that was showed?
Yes, that's something that we were not aware of before. He showed the footage of Scott's car pulling up to a convenience store, and he kept saying, look at his right ankle. And as Scott got out of his vehicle, he said, pointed to a bulge that he said was the holster and the gun bulging out of his pants, and he walked into the convenience store. Now, we had not seen that video before.
And that happened right before the shooting. And another thing that was talked about today was that the State Bureau of Investigation talked to a lot of witnesses that had said originally that they saw the shooting, that they were eyewitnesses. But we learned that not all of them were as forthcoming as maybe they actually, you know, had said that they were. What did the DA have to say about that?
Well, that was one of the things that he said when a minister, I think it was, asked him, why didn't you release all of this information earlier? If you knew he had a gun, if you knew these things, why didn't you release it earlier? And he said that they had to do a more comprehensive, deeper investigation, and that one of the things was to talk to a lot of these witnesses who, he said, it turned out that a lot of things they said were not accurate, said there were some people who said they actually saw the shooting. They did not. There were some who said they watched it from their apartment, and they said when they went to the apartments, they saw that, say, for instance, a tree would have blocked the view of that particular witness, and there was no way they could have seen it, and that what they could have seen would have been on the passenger side of the vehicle. They also said that there was a juvenile witness, they said, who said he saw the shooting, and some of the ones who said that it was not an African-American who shot Scott, and said that that juvenile was going by what he had seen on YouTube. So there were a lot of discrepancies in what the witnesses said and what they found out once they got into that deeper investigation.
Well, another thing that was talked about in great detail today was the gun that CMPD said was on Mr. Scott. What did we learn about the guns, the gun that CMPD said was in Mr. Scott's possession?
Well, we learned that he bought the gun from a seller in Gaston County. And I had not heard before. They had conversation between that seller and another person who talked about the seller said he recognized Keith Scott's photo, and he said, that's the person who I sold the gun on. And I think he gave a date of September 2nd was when that transaction happened. And he also talked about that the seller actually went with Scott to a store to buy a clip and ammunition for the gun, and that the seller also altered the holster that the gun was in, the ankle holster, and that the seller identified the cuttings on the holster that he made so that the gun would actually fit in that particular holster. So someone asked, would charges be brought against this person who actually sold the gun to Keith Scott? And he said that he was not sure if that would be the case.
We also saw Facebook messages that weren't available before between Mr. Scott and the seller. There were some Facebook messages, not between the two of them, but between the seller and a third party.
Right. That's what I was just talking about, mm-hmm. That third party. They had that conversation, and that he also said, the seller also said, that he felt responsible for Keith Scott's death because he said if he had not sold him the gun, he might not have been in that situation to have been shot by police officers. So, yes, they did have that. We were not aware of that conversation between them. And also, he said that there was a text message that Keith Scott sent to the seller saying that there was something wrong with the clip and that he wanted to take it back, and they did have receipts from the store where Keith Scott bought the ammunition and also a credit card that was used that they said they connected with him.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Mr. Scott's family. Rekia Scott, his wife, she took a cell phone video that went viral.
Exactly.
She had relayed some details that she thought to be accurate about the shooting. What have we found through the investigation? You know, what did she say and what was actually found to be true?
Well, according to them, she said that CMPD had never tried to interview her, and the district attorney said that they had a partial video of when she was at the hospital, and they started to interview her, but her attorney stopped that particular interrogation of her, and they said they did have that on tape, and they also said that, you know, of course, she said that he did not have a gun. Mm-hmm. And they said that they had a text message between Scott and his wife, mm-hmm. in which they were arguing about him possessing a gun.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking along those lines, our news director, WFAE's Greg Collard, joins us in the studio now. Greg, we saw some footage actually of Officer Brentley Vinson. And tell us a little bit about what we learned from his vantage point today.
Well, Andrew Murray addressed a lot of the misinformation that he said has been spread on social media and all the rumors. There's been a lot of speculation from people that Officer Vinson wasn't the shooter, for example, or wasn't there, or that someone else, one of the other officers, shot Mr. Scott. And one of the things he said is Officer Vinson took responsibility immediately for this. And that everyone except Officer Vinson had their full allotment of ammo. There were four bullets that were missing from his allotment, and they did ballistics testing that showed all four of those bullets were fired from his gun. So he did a lot. I thought it was interesting. Andrew Murray took a lot of time in addressing a lot of the rumors and the speculation that this shooting didn't go down as police have said it did.
Also, he mentioned that, you know, there were also rumors and on social media that he was shot in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about that. He said the medical examiner could not say the sequence of the shots, but he did address that by saying that from what they did come up with, he probably was shot and twisted around, but that wasn't totally clear, but he said that they could not establish the exact sequence, but they did not think that that first bullet was to the back.
What questions a lot of details were gone over today, but to either one of you, are there any big questions that still remain that we're hoping to find out more answers for?
Wow, digesting a lot. That's a difficult thing to answer. One of the things that we asked about in the press conference is why there was no marijuana test of Mr. Scott. And we learned today that there was not, we already reported there was not an initial marijuana test, even though they reported that he had been smoking or had rolled a marijuana blunt. We learned today that after that toxicology report came out, that SBI did finally request a test for marijuana, and that test did come back positive for Mr. Scott as for recently using it.
Mm-hmm. And that wasn't included in the initial toxicology report that they supplied us. And another thing that we learned today too is that there was no Vinson and Mr. Scott. They did not know each other.
No, they did not.
No, they did not. Mm-hmm. And he was quick to point out that this was a unanimous recommendation not to file charges. 15 attorneys. Yes, he said there were 15 senior top executives, and they all agree that no charges should be filed. And he also was quick to, in talking to the community, he said to the community, you know, it's time for closure, and that they wanted closure, and that the reason they did not release things earlier because they wanted to have a thorough investigation and also advised people, suggested to people to read the file before any, you know, they make any kinds of opinions about this, to read the entire file.
And that's certainly, we're included in that, and that's certainly something we're going to be doing this afternoon. I think it's going to be a very thick file we'll all be digesting, and we'll have more reporting on what that file says this afternoon, so, and on our website.
Great. WFAE's Greg Collard and Gwendolyn Glenn, thank you both so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.